Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for December 22nd, 2006. This week, Justin Warner tells us how bees could be used in bomb detection, and Chelsea Wald reports on a strange new molecule found in space. But first, last May, a Stradivarius violin sold at auction for over $3.5 million. These instruments are so valuable, in part, because no one's been able to replicate their sound. But now a biochemist has found a clue to their secret. Chelsea has the story.
It's said that Stradivari and the other Italian masters made the finest violins ever. Now violin maker and biochemist Joseph Najvari of Texas A&M may have discovered how. His team analyzed wood from two of these violins and found that it was treated with harsh chemical preservatives that may have purified the sound. He guesses the masters were unaware of this side effect, which explains why the chemical recipe didn't get passed down.
So I assume that this paper will convince many other violin makers to search for their own cocktail and brine, and no matter what they use, they will get very interesting results.
He says he could recreate the exact makeup of the original cocktail if only he could get more wood samples to analyze.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, it takes a lot of pressure to pump blood from giraffes' hearts to their heads. So listener Matthew Vonder of Seattle, Washington, wants to know why bending their heads down doesn't cause them to have a stroke.
Obviously, they've got to have really high blood pressure to punch their blood all the way up into their brain. Then when they bend over to get a drink, they still have that same blood pressure, but they've got gravity too, so why don't they burst a blood vessel in their brain when that happens?
Well, giraffe circulation expert Alan Hargens of the University of California, San Diego, explains that their brains and spinal cords are surrounded by a cerebrospinal fluid just like ours. When they bend over, that fluid rushes to their heads and squeezes the swelling blood vessels from the outside.
So when they bend head down to, say, for example, drink water, the elevation of blood pressure due to the head down tilt could be counteracted one for one by the increase of cerebrospinal fluid pressure.
Even so, he says giraffes generally don't keep their heads down for long, even when they're sleeping. If you've got a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or submit it at scienceupdate.com. If you use it in the podcast, you'll win a Science Update mug, which you can use to conveniently lift liquids up to your mouth instead of bending down to lap them up. Now, Justin Warner tells us about Homeland Security's newest sting operation.
In the future, our nation's ports, bridges, and airlines may be protected by highly trained bees. Tim Harmon and his colleagues at Los Alamos National Laboratory have taught bees to sniff out plastic explosives, TNT, and other bomb components. The bees signal a hit with their handy proboscis extension reflex,
which is nothing more than sticking out their tongue when they encounter sugar water. And you can train a bee to do this when it smells certain odors.
Compared to dogs, Harmon says bees can be trained in hours rather than months. The trained bees are then strapped into small, specialized cages equipped with video cameras and image recognition software to spot the telltale tongues.
And, you know, another advantage to bees over canines, it would be, you know, there's some countries where it's culturally insensitive to have canines walking around and sniffing people and stuff, and you could be using bees instead because, again, you imagine the bees are self-contained in a detector. No one knows there's bees inside there. No one's offended by bees being in a box.
In especially high-risk areas, Harmon imagines that robots might even carry the boxes of bees, eliminating the risk of losing an officer or a faithful canine.
Thanks, Justin. Well, they're not as impressive as rainforests or as colorful as coral reefs, but seagrass beds are critical habitats on sandy coasts. Baby fish and crustaceans hide from predators in the vast beds, and the grasses filter pollutants. In the journal Bioscience, researchers report that the seagrasses are in grave danger and not enough is being done to protect them. One reason, they say, is that while the media reports frequently on more glamorous ecosystems, seagrass beds are generally ignored. In other environment news, scientists report in the journal PLOS Biology that labeling a species endangered can be the kiss of death. Animals and even plants on the list suddenly become coveted by collectors who avidly hunt or capture the last remaining individuals. Finally, as you probably know, space isn't all that empty. Chelsea tells us what scientists have recently found out there.
Scientists have found a new ingredient in the increasingly strange and complex interstellar soup. It's a negatively charged molecule, meaning it's managed to hold on to an extra electron despite being assaulted by radiation that would tend to knock it off. Astrophysicist Patrick Thaddeus of the Harvard Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory says it's the first of its kind found in the large molecular clouds that percolate in space.
These molecular clouds are very, very deep importance because essentially all star formation occurs in molecular clouds because they're dense and they tend to be rather cool. And so these are the factories out of which stars are being made continuously in a galaxy like ours and presumably over the whole face of the universe.
They've already found the molecule in two clouds and expect to find it and possibly other negatively charged molecules elsewhere. Learning about this interstellar mix helps scientists know more about the ingredients that went into cooking up our sun, the Earth, and ultimately, us.
Thanks, Chelsea. Next time, we'll talk about a new mouthwash that could revolutionize your daily routine. And if wild salmon are so endangered, why don't we let them spawn before we catch and eat them? Find out on our next show. In the meantime, don't forget to come visit us at scienceupdate.com. Thanks for listening, and have a happy holiday season. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.